This is the Old Radio Show's podcast.
Shave Cream presents Gangbusters, authentic inside facts about America's worst criminals, taken from the files of the American police, an actual record of their endless war on the underworld. The crusade against crime, sent to you every Wednesday by the makers of those two unique shave creams made with olive oil, Palmolive Shave Cream and Palmolive Brushless. Tonight, Philip H. Lord interviews former Sheriff Ellie Alderman of Lamar, Colorado, to find out how four innocent men were saved from the gallows, and Jake and Ralph, the Flegel brothers, ruthless killers, were brought to justice by the scientific laboratory. Men, tonight, on behalf of Palmolive Shave Cream and Palmolive Brushless, those two unique shave creams made with olive oil to help condition your skin, I bring you a famous woman athlete and coach, Miss Dee Beckman. Miss Beckman was head coach of the 1936 American Women's Olympic team, is herself a former holder of world's running records for distances from 100 to 880 yards. Miss Beckman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Miss Beckman, have you had any experience with olive oil as a skin conditioner?
Yes, Mr. Rolfe, I have. You see, my life's work is among women in organized athletics, and that means helping to keep women athletes in condition, skin as well as muscles. Now, for that purpose, I use olive oil, nature's finest skin conditioner. And that's why, as coach of the American Women's Olympic team, I used olive oil in Berlin last year.
Thank you, Miss Beckman. And men, that's why we make both Palmolive Shave Cream and Palmolive Brushless with olive oil. Because it is nature's finest skin conditioner. And that's why either Palmolive Shave Cream or Palmolive Brushless will help give you a closer, easier, quicker shave and also help tone up, condition your skin. Get a tube of Palmolive Shave Cream if you use a brush, Palmolive Brushless if you don't use a brush, and see your own skin grow gradually healthier, younger looking. But now visualize the setting for tonight's interview. Former Sheriff Ellie Alderman is sitting across the desk from Philip H. Lord in a special office at New York Police Headquarters, turned over to Mr. Lord by Commissioner Lewis J. Valentine of the New York Police Department. Philip H. Lord begins the interview with former Sheriff Alderman.
Sheriff Alderman, I'm familiar with this case of Jake and Ralph Flegel, and I believe the inside facts of it are going to be very exciting to us,
Mr. Lord, with cold blood wet.
But I wish you'd start, sir, by...
A large black car drove up before the First National Bank of Lamar, Colorado. Four men slipped out of the car and with drawn guns entered the bank.
Here are the bank statements, Mr. Parrish.
You want to watch that cold, Miss Harvey?
Yes, sir.
Give the money to the cashier and the statements to my son.
Yes, sir, I will.
Everybody, let us take off.
Get that money into that bag.
Just a minute. I'm the president of this bank.
Shut up.
I'm the president of this bank, and I'll protect it. No!
The old fellow shot me. Kill him. You killed my father.
You killed my father, right? That's two of them dead. Don't kill any more or make a move.
Hey, get that bundle of money over there.
Okay.
Collect out the front of the bank.
That bank's president full of... Busted my jaw.
Ah, shut up. We killed him and his son, didn't we? What more do you want?
Get that bundle of money.
How are we going to escape to that crowd up front?
Never mind. I'll fix that. Hey, you, cashier. Get out here in the middle of the floor. Now, everybody listen. We're taking this cashier with us. If you try to follow us, we'll kill him. You, cashier. Walk to the car right ahead of us there. Walk right through that crowd out front.
We'll sell
any
more and make
them
more. You can't get away with this.
You bank guy, get in that car quick. You drive off and cover
them. Okay, we're off.
Get them up covered. Come, follow us in that car back there.
Oh, my jaw. Gotta get a doctor, Jake.
Yeah, come here. Let me see that jaw, Roy. Yeah, you're the full of the tore away part of it. You can't get to a doctor before night, though.
They're shooting at us, Jake.
Yeah, it's that sheriff. They're in a car a couple of hundred yards behind.
Get that bank cashier out of the car, Jake, so the cop won't dare shoot.
Good idea. Come on, Edgar. Grab this bank guy's feet. We'll hang him by the feet out of the car, and the cop won't dare shoot.
Hold one of his feet. I'll hold you out of fellas. Give me a chance. I'll be killed out there.
Yeah, that's just where we are. Come on, lad.
Out you go.
The officers didn't dare shoot, Mr. Lord, because the bank teller was being hung out of the car by his feet.
But the bandits were shooting back at the officers, weren't they?
Yes, and one of the shots put the police car out of commission. An hour later, the bandit car drew up to a little deserted shack in the country and stopped.
Come on, Jake. We'll take this bank guy into the shack.
Come on, you. Get out.
What are you... You're going to leave me in that shack?
You take one of his arms, Dutch, and I'll take the other.
Okay.
Come on, stand up and walk.
All right.
Come on.
Up these steps now.
Shove in the door.
Get in there.
You ain't going to kill me.
What do you think we brought you up here for, to play peanut with you?
Oh, don't kill me.
Yeah, that's it. Get down on your knees. You want it so far to fall.
Haven't you got any pity?
Okay, Ralph. Pour the lead through.
No!
Blast him. Yeah, he won't tell nothing now. Come on, we gotta get out of this section. We'll head for the hideout over in Kansas.
Well, Mr. Lord, the gang goes to their hideout, a dilapidated ranch in Kansas. After arriving, Ralph drove with his brother, Jake Flegel, to the nearest town for a doctor.
How do you do, sir?
How you do? Are you the doctor?
Yes.
Well, there's a man who's just been hurt out in the country. He's got to have a doctor quick.
Oh. How did it happen?
Why, he was hurt by a tractor. It's very serious.
Well, my bag's in my car out front, so, let's go.
Okay, Doc. Sorry to follow you so late.
Oh, that's quite all right. That's my duty. Which way?
In the way you're headed, Doc.
Oh, would you mind opening that window a little?
Oh, not at all.
It works hard. You have to take a hold of the glass and push it down.
Oh, yes.
Now hold on to the glass with the top and push it down.
Okay. There.
Fine. Now we'll drive out and look after your friend.
When Jake got the doctor to the ranch house, the doctor operated on Rails's jaw, sir.
They forced him to at the point of a gun, Mr. Lord. And then he was held captive all night. The next morning, Jake and Ralph found the doctor, blindfolded him, forced him into his own car, and drove with him to a steep cliff overlooking the canyon.
This is the highest point of the cliff. Drive over to the edge, Ralph.
Okay.
Nearer the edge, Ralph. Put the front wheels right on the edge.
The ground might cave away.
It's mostly rock. I said put the front wheels right on the edge of the cliff.
All right.
I didn't say to put the front wheels over the edge.
That was a narrow squeak, all right.
Two more riches and we'd have been all over there. Get out, Doc.
I know this cliff. It's almost a 700-foot drop down there. Please take the bandage off my eyes.
Shut up and get out. Take his other arm, Ralph.
Do you feel the edge of the cliff there with your foot, Doc?
Yes. I don't suppose it's any use appealing to your decency.
We ain't got nothing against you, Doc. We just gotta protect ourselves.
So you're really going to kill me? Push me off the cliff.
Stop your whining, Doctor.
I'm not whining for you or any other man. But it's natural to want to know if you're going to be killed.
Well, you are. You're going to go end over end right down to the bottom.
I've got a family. They'll be worried. May I write the last message?
Now we ain't got time for that trash. Well, so long, Doc. Anything to say?
Yes. Yes. My last words are, both of you will hang for this.
Yeah. Put that gun to his head and let him have it.
But hold on to him.
Then we'll put him over the cliff. Give it to him.
Huh? That's finished him.
Come on, push him over the cliff.
You won't never tell nothing.
See him bounce off that cliff? He's down here, all right. Come on, release the brake of his car. That goes after him.
Come on, clear the shell.
Yeah. Careful you don't go over with it.
Okay.
There she goes.
Nobody will ever know we did this.
3 murders in 24 hours, Sheriff Alden. The doctor missing. Now, one of the citizens organized a searching party.
Even airplanes were pressed into service, Mr. Lord. And one police officer, looking down from one of the planes, saw Rick Carr lying at the bottom of the canyon. Several officers, including a fingerprint expert at the Garden City, Kansas Police Department, were the first to climb down and reach the wreckage. They found the body of the doctor. They examined the car for hours.
I've checked everything about this car, Jim. I can't find any clues. There are some fingerprints, but they're all fingerprints of the doctor.
Yeah.
I wonder if this murder had any connection with that bank robbery in Lamar.
There's nothing to connect them.
Hey, that right-hand window in front.
Down. Probably busted in pieces inside the case. And used the fingerprints on the glass?
If the window was down, nobody could leave their fingerprints on the glass because the glass would be inside the door.
That's right. Unless the person put the window down after he got in the car.
I'll take a look to be sure.
This is one of the cruelest murders I ever ran against. Evidently, some gang forced the doctor to come out here and treat one of the members. And then they killed him this way.
Say, Jim, look here.
What you found? Look at this piece of glass here. See that fingerprint?
Yeah.
Pretty bad, though. That's just part of a fingerprint.
I know, but this print isn't the doctor's. Now, if the murderer rode in the front seat with the doctor, perhaps the murderer put that car window down.
It's a possibility, but a very indistinct print.
It's almost too indistinct to do anything with. The Federal Bureau of Investigation in Washington has been doing some wonderful work on fingerprints. I'm going to send this print to them.
Well, Mr. Lord, that fragment of a fingerprint was sent to Washington.
Sheriff Alderman, before you tell us the outcome, I'm going to ask Eric Walsh to give us a message from the makers of Palm Olive Shave Cream. Make the series possible.
Right, certainly, Mr. Lord.
All right, Eric, you step up here.
Thank you, sir. Men who you shave with either Palm Olive Shave Cream or Palm Olive Brushes, we think you'll find you get these two benefits. First, a quicker, closer, easier shave. Second, a skin feeling extra smooth, toned up, more pliant. Yes, gradually younger looking. Because both Palm Olive Shave Cream and Palm Olive Brushless are made with just the right amount of olive oil, nature's finest skin conditioner. Tomorrow, get a tube of Palm Olive Shave Cream if you use a brush, Palm Olive Brushless if you use a brushless cream. Okay, Phil.
And now, Sheriff Alderman, the car has been found. And on a broken piece of glass was one small part of the fingerprint.
Several weeks passed, Mr. Lord. And then Inspector Haynes was in his office at the Federal Bureau of Investigation at Washington.
Get a report, Inspector Haynes.
Report on those suspects being held in Lamar.
Feeling's running high out there. They'll get the death penalty in quick order.
Emerson, I'm worried. We've been sent this fragmentary fingerprint. It was found on a piece of broken glass from the doctor's car, which was pushed over the cliff after the doctor was murdered. It's only part of one print, and we've got no way of checking it with our files. Four suspects have already been arrested out in Lamar.
You feel that the four suspects they're holding are the wrong ones, then?
Yes, I do. True, they've been identified by witnesses who were in the bank during the robbery. But feeling has been running so high out there that the identification of the four men can be wrong.
Well, what do you suggest, sir?
Thousands of fingerprints are coming in here every week from police all over the country. before those Lamar suspects are convicted. If a fingerprint should come in from any police department that matched this print, you'd know that the real criminal was still loose. And the four suspects out in Lamar would be saved.
I see, sir.
I want you to take this single fingerprint. Have an enlargement made and placed on the desk of every man in the fingerprint division. And see if, perhaps, out of the thousands of prints which come in, one may correspond to this one.
All right, sir.
Our only hope is that the man who left this fingerprint will be picked up for some offense. That he will be fingerprinted by some local police department and his print sent here.
I'll put the order through immediately, sir, for every man in the fingerprint division to memorize this print.
Well, Mr. Lord, months passed. Then Frank Maynard, one of the many clerks whose business it was to examine fingerprints all day long, was working late in the department of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Coming out to supper, Frank?
Pretty soon. Oh, wait a minute here. Hmm? Look at this print. What does the card say on him?
Not much. Print comes in from Stockton, California. William Harrison Holden. Arrested a week ago on suspicion of robbery, but was released because of lack of evidence.
Okay. It's a well pattern. Let me see that print. There's the well. Ask Inspector Holmes if he can come here at once.
What for?
Get him quick. I want to see if we've got a record on this man.
I'll get him.
17 over 2 over 8.
Matter, Frank.
Now, listen. This is a fingerprint sent in by the police of Stockton, California. A week ago, they arrested a man out in California as a suspect on a robbery charge. The man was released, but the Stockton police fingerprinted him, sent his prints along with us as a matter of routine. I want you to take a look at the print of this man's index finger.
Yes?
You see there? The peculiar formation of that ridge?
Yeah.
I think that's a similar fingerprint to the one that was found on the glass of that car that was pushed over the cliff after that doctor was killed out of Lamar, Colorado. If it is, then the real criminal is still loose.
Check this complete print with a file.
I am, sir. Let me see.
If your memory is right, you've done the most outstanding thing in the fingerprint division, Frank.
Yes, sir. Take a look. See, this card from Stockton, California calls this man William Harrison Holden.
Yes.
Now, this card here in the files matches the fingerprint of this card from California. The man's real name who was arrested out in California is Jake Flegel.
Flegel? Who's Jake Flegel?
The card here says Jake Flegel served time at the Oklahoma State Penitentiary in 1916.
Good boy, Frank. I'll telephone the police out at Lamar in Garden City, Kansas, so they can check on Jake Flegel before those four suspects out there are sentenced to the gallows.
As soon as the Garden City police received the Federal Bureau of Investigation's message, Mr. Lord, they recalled some men by the name of Flegel who had a house a few miles out of the city. The police immediately rushed out, surrounded the house, and knocked on the door.
We're officers of the law.
I'm Sheriff Thomas.
Now, who are you?
I'm the caretaker here.
Caretaker, eh? Where about from Jake Flegel?
I don't know.
Are they here?
No.
Well, we're coming in to make sure. Back into the house and keep your hands up.
Right away.
Who's in that room back there?
Nobody.
Take a look, Davis. I'll keep this caretaker covered.
Nobody in the closet, Sheriff Thomas.
Listen, caretaker, we haven't got time to waste. Where are Ralph and Jake Flegel?
I don't know.
There's a couple of letters of
the
death, Sheriff Thomas.
Are you
cops?
Leave them things alone there.
Damn right where you are, caretaker. Keep an eye on him, Dave.
I see. Here's a letter from Ralph Flegel. The police replied to is that post office, but it's, can't get to you anymore.
I've got letters to my girlfriend.
Dave, keep this house under watch. Let no messages go in or out.
All right, then.
This is a letter from Ralph Flegel. I'm taking a plane that can't come to you anymore.
Sheriff Thomas arrived at Kankakee, Mr. Lord, and he stationed himself in the post office, and a long wait followed. Finally,
Sheriff Thomas. The mail has just gone to that post office box.
Yeah, I've been watching him. I think it's Ralph Fleagle, tell me. Get your gun out.
There. He's unlocking the box.
We're gonna wait.
Why don't you stop him? He's taken the letter.
Wait. I want him to open it.
He's going to read it right there.
Come on, man. I have your gun ready.
What goes that step? Who are you? Police officers. Take them handcuffs off me.
Oh, no, Ralph Fleagle. You're wanted for the robbery of the Lamar Bank if I'm not.
Well, you can't prove it. Take these cuffs off me.
All innocent men would have been hung if we hadn't caught you. Come on. Get going.
All right, all right.
Ralph Fleagle admit his part in the Lamar bank robbery and murder, Sheriff Alderman?
He did, Mr. Lord. And he incriminated his brother, Jake. But the search for Jake lasted a year and extended throughout the entire country. Finally, October 14th, 1930, William Simpson and Harry Green, two Lamar police officers, got on the train bound for Branson, Missouri. The local sheriff boarded the train at a switch just before they arrived at Branson. Sheriff, we were just talking about you. Detective Simpson, my partner.
Glad to know you.
How are you?
Sit down, Sheriff.
It'll be another minute or so before we get into Branson. Detective Green, will you give me a little background of this case?
Well, Sheriff, some time ago, the police got Ralph Fleagle. Finally, Ralph let it drop that Jake Fleagle had an old friend down here somewhere in Missouri.
As I wrote you, I knew Jake 10 years ago.
Good. Well, we put an advertisement in the newspapers all over Missouri. The advertisement read, Jake, get in touch with your old friend at Branson, Missouri. We reasoned that Jake would think his friend had something important to tell him, so Jake would come here to Branson to see him.
That's a clever piece of reasoning, gentlemen.
A clever piece.
Well, you think it'd be better from down here, sir, to see if Jake falls to the ad and shows up in Branson.
Well, this is Branson, Missouri, gentlemen. Let me take your bag and play host to you while you're here.
Thanks, Sheriff. You lead the way.
Wait a minute. Take a breeze. See that man running and getting aboard?
Yes.
That's Jake Fleagle.
Yes, sir.
I'm positive. Quick. Get back on the plane. We're safe.
Think Jake Fleagle saw us?
No.
Jake got on the car ahead. This is a break that comes once in a lifetime. Simpson, you go into the car ahead. Walk through the car and get a drink of water. That'll put you on the far end of the car.
Okay.
Now, as soon as you get up there, the sheriff and I will go into the car, stop walking up the aisle. When we get opposite Fleagle, we'll all close in.
Jake Fleagle knows he'll be executed if we capture him. He'll probably try to shoot it out.
Okay. You go ahead into the other car, then. Good luck.
Same to you, men.
We'll wait a second. Then we'll go into the other car.
Jake Fleagle's a bad man. You fight like a wildcat.
Simpson is up at the other end of the car. Come on, Sheriff. And as soon as you get inside the other car, stop.
Okay.
Which one is Jake Fleagle, Sheriff?
That heavy ship cut on the right-hand side.
Keep him alone. Come on. We'll go up and try to take him.
Quick,
Jake Fleagle.
I'm dead.
I got him. I got him.
He's been a gun
shot.
He may be just slamming.
He's wounded.
He's him down the seat.
Watch him out.
I guess we got to, Jake.
I don't know who shot me.
I don't care.
Take it easy.
No, I don't have to be.
Hans.
So, Sheriff Alderman, the doctor's request that Jake Fleagle open the window of the automobile was responsible for the exoneration of four innocent men, the shooting of Jake Flegel, and the execution of Ralph Flegel.
It was, Mr. Lord. And it was a little slip like that which brought the criminals to justice. No matter how carefully a crime is planned, there are always those little unforeseen clues left behind to give the criminal away.
Thank you very much for coming here tonight, Sheriff Alderman, giving us the inside facts of this case. And I know that our Palmolive Shave Cream audience joins me in thanking you. At this time, I'd like also to thank the New York Police Department for the honor that they've bestowed on me. June 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at Madison Square Garden, there is going to be the greatest exhibition of police lineups, radio calls, emergency squads, mounted police drills, and motorcycle squads, the biggest exhibition ever put on. And the police have asked me to advise on how it should be shown to the public. And I appreciate this honor and will be there. And now in just a minute, the clues to recent crimes. But first, Eric Law.
Thank you, sir. Men, earlier in this program, Miss Dee Beckman, head coach of the 1936 American Women's Olympic team, told us how she used olive oil as an aid in keeping the team fit and in condition. Let me remind you again, both these two fine shave creams, Palmolive Shave Cream and Palmolive Brushless, are made with olive oil. So we think you'll find that either Palmolive Shave Cream or Palmolive Brushless will give you a shave that is clean, close, quick. Yes, and leave your skin feeling smoother, toned up, more pliant. Try Palmolive Shave Cream if you use a brush, Palmolive Brushless if you don't use a brush. Get a tube tomorrow. But now, the clues.
Wanted for questioning in connection with murder of Harold Baker, man, 43, 5 feet 10, 3 quarters inches, 160 pounds, light hair and eyes, scars on left forehead, center forehead, right temple, tattooed rose on right shoulder, tattooed soldier, flag and cannon on upper right arm.
Wanted, escaped Missouri murderer, Frank Bird, 29, 5 feet 8 inches, 145 pounds, dark hair and eyes, cut scar on left index finger, circular scar above right elbow, two circular scars above eyebrows.
Wanted, Madeline Raymond, 22, 5 feet 4 and a half inches, 134 pounds, brown hair and eyes, birthmark on forehead. Madeline Raymond has escaped from the Massachusetts Reformatory.
Warning, citizens of Minnesota, watch for stolen 1936 Pan Ford Deluxe Coupe, Minnesota license B516563, driven by man, wanted in connection with murder of Crosby, Minnesota citizen. Repeating, Minnesota license B516563.
Attention, citizens of Iowa. Be on lookout for kidnappers and robbers believed riding in dark 1936 Plymouth sedan, Minnesota license plates, Bandit 30. 190 pounds, gray suit, gray cap, tan complexion, kidnapped a garage owner of Fort Madison, Iowa, leaving companions to rifle garage safe.
If you have any information concerning these clues, notify the local police or Gangbusters at once. Next week, Gangbusters will present the Blood Oath Gang, a gang that swears would be more deadly than Dillinger or the Barker Gang. These criminals mixed their blood and took the blood oath that they'd never be captured. They swore that if any member was captured, they'd go right into the prison, dynamite it, and kill the guards and free every member. Here's what happened when they tried it, and how the police outsmarted them in the crusade against crime. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.